Morning, everyone. So this morning in the gospel, we hear a story that I'm sure many, if not all of us, are very, very familiar with. The story of our Lord's transfiguration. And in fact, this is a story that we hear from time to time, certainly throughout the entirety of the year, but even is chosen as the gospel reading for our Sunday Mass. But every single year during the second Sunday of Lent, we hear each one of the synoptic gospel writers' account of this very gospel. And this week we have the privilege to meditate upon Luke's account of the transfiguration. And so the church, in her great wisdom, for whatever reason, she sees this gospel as being something that's important for us as a people to reflect upon throughout this holy season of Lent. Right? Every single year we hear this story. And in fact, for us to understand the gravity of this gospel, especially during this season of Lent, we first need to understand contextually what's going on in the gospel. What's going on at this point in the story? Because in fact, what it represents is a turning point in Jesus' ministry. Because what happened just mere verses before the story that we heard today was Peter's great profession of faith. Peter is at, along with the other apostles, and Jesus is at Caesarea Philippi, right? And it's there that Peter becomes the first one to profess that Jesus isn't merely a man, but rather professes his lordship, says that you are the Son of God, right? Jesus asking them who the people says that he is. And then finally looking to the apostles, asking them, who do you say that I am? And it's Peter. It's Peter who says that you are the Lord. You are the incarnate Son of God. And it's then that Jesus now professes him to be the rock, professes him to be the first pope in the long history that has now culminated with Pope Francis. But again, that's not the end of the story at Caesarea Philippi, because it's immediately after that that Jesus gives his first proclamation, his first prophecy that he, as the Son of Man, will ultimately have to go to his death. Right? It's then, this is the first time that Jesus proclaims that he is going to the cross. And it's right after that now that Peter, who was doing so well, as Peter so often does, and then Peter, he rejects that. He says, not you, Lord. Didn't you hear what I just said? You're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. You're the one we've been waiting for. You're not going to die. And it's then that Jesus calls him Satan. He says, get behind me. So just mere verses before this, we see what is arguably the best and worst of Peter. And not only that, but we see now Jesus foreshadowing the cross that is to come. You see, this marks a turning point in the gospel, because from here, in the other gospel writers, we hear that from Caesarea Philippi, Jesus now sets his face towards Jerusalem. In fact, everything that Jesus does from here on out has a newfound fervor, because now he's moving towards his very mission, the culmination of his mission, that will end in Jerusalem, that will end ultimately at Mount Calvary and on Easter morning with his resurrection. So Jesus now, in the verses immediately preceding what we hear today, Jesus now sets his face towards Jerusalem. And the gospel writers, the history of the church, they saw that as a very important line, a very important text that now points to where Jesus is headed. And you see, for us in this holy season of Lent, really what we as a Christian people are doing is we're setting our face towards Jerusalem as well. Right, over the course of these next 5 weeks, what we're doing is we're looking to build up, to prepare ourselves for that Holy Triduum. Right, and the centerpiece of that Triduum, so to speak, being Good Friday, being the moment that Jesus offers himself on the cross as the one true sacrifice. And what's amazing is that throughout the entirety of history, especially those early church fathers who had to wrestle with this gospel, they saw a link between the transfiguration and the cross. In fact, it's only in St. Luke's account of this gospel do we hear what Jesus is speaking to Moses and Elijah about. In St. Matthew and St. Mark's account, we don't hear what it is. But what St. Luke tells us is that Jesus is speaking about his impending exodus. He's speaking about this path now that he's taking towards Jerusalem, right? That will be culminated with Jesus offering himself on the cross on Good Friday. So there's a link between these two things. And when we see it on the face, we wouldn't think that there would be much of a connection. Right? As we hear in the gospel, Jesus now, he appears dazzlingly white. We hear of Jesus appearing now in all of his glory. When we see, or when we hear of Jesus now on Good Friday, it's the exact opposite. You know, and anybody who's seen Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ knows that. I mean, his bloodied face. I mean, you know, for us, we can't even begin to understand what Jesus would have looked like as he hung upon the cross. I mean, again, as scandalous as that is, that's nothing. Right? Jesus' face would have been scourged, dripping with blood, the crown of thorns on his head. And for whatever reason, the church in all of history, and as St. Luke tells us, this story that we hear today is somehow connected with Mount Calvary. Mount Tabor and Mount Calvary are connected in a very integral way. And for us to truly understand that helps us to get to the bottom of what we're seeking to do during Lent. And in fact, in order for us to understand that, we need not look any farther than the figure of St. Peter. Right, again, Peter, who had just both professed the lordship of Christ and then rejected the fact that he was going to his cross. Peter again becomes the centerpiece of this story. Because Peter, as he awakens from that deep sleep, we hear that Luke says this almost comically, that Peter, he had no idea what he was saying. You know, again, Peter, as always, you know, he speaks first, then thinks second. But what does Peter say? He says, Lord, it's good that we're here. You know, and for me, I mean, upon reflecting with this gospel, if I were to see Jesus in all of his glory, I would probably think the same thing. It's great for me to be here. I wouldn't know what I'd be saying. But again, when we unpack what's really going on, what we see is that this is Peter yet again rejecting the cross. Because I bet you what Peter thought was, the kingdom has now come. You see, I bet you he looked to James and John and said, see, I was right. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. The kingdom has now come. So for us, it's good for us to be here. In fact, what we hear, right, is that Peter, he wants to build tents for Jesus and for Moses and Elijah. And the reason why he does that is because, again, it's good that they're here. He thinks the kingdom has come. And not only that, but now it reaffirms that, Jesus, you don't need to go to your cross. We're seeing glory right here in front of us. And listen, that's good enough for me. But as St. Paul tells us in his second reading today, he urges us not to become enemies of the cross. And what does that even mean, enemies of the cross? Because again, to us, the cross is the central mystery of our faith. The fact that God could become man so as to lay down his life on an instrument of torture, that would be the means of salvation. For us, I say this all the time, anybody who pretends to fully plumb the depths of that mystery is either lying to themselves or lying to everyone else. Because it's a great mystery that we have to come to struggle with. And for us, Lent, as I said, Lent is for us now turning our face towards the cross. It's us not only embracing those sufferings in our life, but again, adding to them, so to speak, adding those added penances. Because for us, what we're striving to do is we're striving to live those words that St. Paul tells us, not to become enemies of the cross, but rather to embrace it as our Lord did. Not to be comfortable, not to say that, listen, what I have here is good enough, but to understand, as St. Paul tells us, that our citizenship is in heaven, right? And the means for us to attain that true citizenship is the cross, that great mystery. You see, for us, especially as we get to this point during Lent, you know, again, I said this before, there's something about Lent to me that's extremely exciting. But here over the course of the next 10 days or so, it loses its excitement very, very quickly. You think, you know what, those penances, I've had enough of them. I'm ready for Easter. I'm ready for chocolate, right? I'm ready for that stuff again. And what is that? That's us doing the exact same thing that St. Peter says. Lord, it's good that we're here. I'm going to pitch my tent right here, and that's good enough. When in reality, what our Lord calls us to is to now even more, to double down, so to speak, and really truly set our face towards Jerusalem, set our face towards the cross. Understanding that for us, Easter Sunday, the resurrection, the transfiguration, Mount Tabor, that only comes through the crucifixion, through Mount Calvary. And that is a mystery. It's the central mystery of our faith. But as we know, for us, this is not the end of Peter's story. Because as we know, Peter, at the end of his life, he climbed his own mountain, as he did with Jesus on Mount Tabor, as he saw Jesus do at Mount Calvary. But the mountain, the hill that Peter himself climbed is Vatican Hill. The very spot where today, in the center of Rome, we see St. Peter's Basilica. And what happened on Vatican Hill? But Peter showed that he wasn't an enemy of the cross. Peter gave his life being crucified upside down. And to me, as hung there on the cross, there's no doubt in my mind that he came back to this story. That he came back to Jesus now appearing radiantly in all of his glory, understanding that for him, he was on his way to his true transfiguration by now setting his face towards his Jerusalem, towards Vatican Hill, towards his cross. So for us now, as we continue through this Lenten season, as we set our face towards Jerusalem, right, towards our individual Calvary, let's not settle as Peter attempted to, saying that, again, it's good that we're here. Let's not be enemies of the cross. But rather, let's come to understand that great mystery that St. Paul lays out to us. That our citizenship isn't here, but our citizenship ultimately is in heaven.